So, Greg Allen, you are here with myself, Basil Barrington, and DJ Keo. You are our guest here on the Behind the Groove podcast. What's going on?
Hey, man, I'm happy to be here. I appreciate you guys inviting me.
You know, we were reading an article from, who posted that article? Was it DJ Mag or was it Digital DJ News? Something like that. Right. We were, and then we just, you know, sort of read the article and thought it was pretty interesting because, you know, we talk all the time about how, you know, especially a company like Spotify just does really nothing for the artists, right? Obviously, companies like Apple Music, Amazon, they're pretty much the same, but they're not as intrusive and just like destructive with your data as a company like Spotify. But so we always sort of like fantasize about, is there another company that could be created that could at least help the artists make some money first and foremost before, you know, they eventually have to head over to the other platforms? And that's why we wanted you on the podcast. So I am going to start with my first question here. So before we even get started, just give us a little background on who you are and how you got started in the music industry.
Sure. So I grew up in a little town in South Georgia called Pelham, down below Albany. And my dad could play guitar. And so I at age 10, I think, I learned to play guitar from him. And I wrote my first song at 12 and had my first band at 16. And in my 20s, I toured the country singing. And finally, probably when I was 27, I think I moved to Nashville for a year and tried the whole songwriting thing there. And finally decided there was a lot of songwriters in Nashville, a whole lot better than me.
Yeah.
And so eventually I said, okay, if I'm going to make any real money, I got to get a real job. And so I had grown up in a family business with my dad. And so I ended up going back into business with him. And I was able to take his little finance operation that he had and come up with this idea around furniture financing that we ended up taking nationwide. And that did really well. And so in 2016, I sold my interest to my brother with the idea of finding some way to get back in music. You know, it's just my true love. And so I felt like I was too old to be a rock star. And so I started looking at the business side of things. You know, maybe I could be a label. Maybe I could be a publisher. You know, maybe, you know, I kind of wanted to find some way to help other songwriters or artists. Well, as I started trying to learn about the business, because I had been completely out of it all that time, I started subscribing to these news blogs and places and immediately started reading articles where artists were complaining about streaming royalties. And songwriters were complaining that they were completely lost in the mix, that they felt like they didn't get paid at all. And you start hearing about this black box, you know, where all these royalties are winding up. Mm-hmm. And then I learned that the streamers were all losing money. Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, on one level, you think, wow, it's kind of a mess, you know? So as I looked at the whole thing, and we also had the other problem with song registration. There just was not really any good place for song registration, a database that everybody could check. And of course, we're solving that now with the MLC and some of these other things that we're trying to do. But
yeah.
So as I pondered all of that, I thought, okay, you know, when you look at just the streaming piece of it, you think, man, these companies have been around for a long time. And like, if you think about it right now, that was 4 years ago in 2016. But right now, you know, Spotify's got 350 million users and they've been around 15 years. I mean, and it's not just them, though. I don't know of a streaming company that's actually making money with streaming. And
it's nothing out there happening.
Yeah. And so I looked at that and I thought, you know, so just trying to say, oh, I'm going to be a better streaming company, I thought, well, that's a waste of time. You're never going to do that. You know, so what could I come up with that might help solve the problem? And I thought, you know what, maybe since what we're hurting, what's killing us is that we can't sell albums anymore. On-demand streaming has just completely obliterated our album sales. what if we could come up with ways to bring back album sales? And at first that sort of sounds crazy, but you know, it seems like the music business hasn't done a good job of taking advantage of the internet and digital stuff. Yeah, we started selling MP3s, but that's about it, you know?
Yes.
And so I started thinking, what else could we sell? Well, my wife and I love to sing karaoke. We sing karaoke almost every weekend. She's a good singer, and together we have a blast with it. But we look everything up on YouTube, you know, and you got to go through like five songs before you finally find a song that you feel like is worth the audio recording is worth you trying to sing to. And I thought, isn't it strange that nobody's come up with a way where the artists themselves can offer their fans karaoke right on their website? So that's one of the things we created. Another idea I had was a fan song mixer. So since I was a kid, you know, we would buy these EQs and we put these EQs in our cars and we jack up the bass and we just love messing with the sound, right? We love what the artists do, but we kind of want to make it our own, right? It's just always sort of been that way. And I thought, you know, what about a fan song mixer? A mixer where the artist can sell it to the fan and the fans can go in and mute tracks and solo tracks. And so I kept it simple. We've created this 10-track song, fan song mixer. And the artist goes in and uploads the stems. You can do however you want up to 10 tracks, just drums, bass, guitars, keyboards, vocals. And then the fan can go in and mute, solo, that kind of stuff. And that's really cool for a fan to be able to go in and say, okay, I want an acoustic version of this song. So they solo just a guitar or just a piano and then the lead vocal. And so it really gives them a unique experience. And we're just getting started. I think those are two great ideas to kind of give us a way to try to increase album sales again. But our idea is to bring retail back to artists' websites. I think a lot of artists have gotten to the point where they're like, why do I even need a website? I'm just going to build my fan base on social media. My website's no good to me. We're going to change that. We're going to bring retail back to artists' websites and hopefully bring back this idea that we can actually sell albums and sell music.
I think it's a brilliant idea because, you know, one of the problems with the industry was record companies, they knew how to make music and that's as far as it went for them. And so here we are in 2021 where nobody can go on tour. Everything's digital online, and so there's no value anymore. Like I got a wall of records behind me. Those are physical things that I used to purchase, and the artists would get the correct amount of money from them, and the label would get their money. Everybody was happy. Now you have the streaming situation where you're getting the 0.000 of a penny.
You're missing a zero. You keep missing that zero.
It's an extra zero. And you know, like from their perspective, there's nothing for the artists. Like the labels get their publishing thing or their licensing thing from the streaming services. And the artist is just left hanging with nothing to show for it. And realistically, unless you're famous, you cannot survive on this industry the way it's designed. And so what you came up with as the company is, you know, we have different ways for you to at least chip away and get something back. Even if the system is broken as it stands right now, you can at least have something else to kind of make something for the artist. Can you expand on that a little bit more about your thought process for that?
Well, let me tell you a little bit more about the software that we've created. And there's two pieces to what I'm trying to accomplish. One is the short-term goal, right? So the short-term goal is we've built this website builder where the artist can join Rhythmic Rebellion and create their own website right on our platform. And that way it gives them access to this karaoke creator that we have and this fan song mixer that they can create. And we've also created a really good song selling system. So a lot of, you know, Apple is sort of getting away from selling MP3s. And I thought, you know, we need to keep that there because there is a lot of artists who still can sell MP3s and WAV files. So we've incorporated that into our system. And we've even got where the artists can define release dates. So they can actually release their album right on their website first if they want to. when the fan buys it, our fans have accounts. So in that way, we're like the streaming companies. All of our fans have accounts. Mm-hmm. When they buy stuff from the artist, it is stored in their account, so they get instant access. So they can, once they buy it, they can play it right there on the music player. Mm-hmm. And if they want to download it, they can download a WAV or an MP3. And if the artist has created karaoke or the fan song mixer, they can get instant access to that. Mm-hmm. And we've got something else that we're really proud of. We call it the Artist Penthouse. And what it basically is access to hidden pages. It's a paywall. The fans can pay, and you can put, the artist can put, you know, videos, never before seen videos of them in the studio, at home, doing acoustic versions of songs, whatever they want. And so it's a one-time payment thing. And so that way you can bundle that then with all this other stuff. So to recant that, the artist can offer instant access to every song on their album, plus a download of a WAV or MP3, plus karaoke for every song, plus a fan song mixer, plus access to these hidden pages with never before seen stuff. And so that's a lot of value, I think. I think where fans look at it today and they think, hey, why would I buy that album when I'm going to hear it on one of the streaming services, you know, for free, or I'm already paying for it. Now they look at that and they go, okay, wow, that's a lot of value. Sure, I'll pay $10. I'll pay $15 to get access to that. So really, really proud of that. And the other piece that I haven't really mentioned yet, I do want to solve the streaming problem too, if we can. Mm-hmm. And here's my idea behind the whole thing. So when you get back to the situation we've got with the streaming companies, as you know, the songwriters and the publishers actually got awarded a copyright royalty increase or a streaming royalty increase from the Royalty Rate Board.
Right.
Well, right as it was supposed to become law, these streamers appealed it, right? And the streamers actually won. They won in the appellate court, and the appellate court said, yeah, this is not going to work well for the streaming companies because they're already struggling. They're already losing money. This could put them out of business. So we'll send it back down to the original court with instructions that they got to come up with something that's more suitable for the streaming industry. And, even if the streaming industry were to start getting a profit somehow, they're going to always battle for lower royalties, right? It makes sense. If I was running Spotify, I'd be doing the same thing. I'd be saying, look, guys, we got to get to a profit. We got to keep costs down, and streaming royalties is one thing we got. It's our biggest cost. It's their biggest expense. They got to fight to keep that down. So when I look at all that, I think it's a broken business model. First of all, I just don't see how it's ever really going to work. And even the guys like Google and Apple, you know, they've got other income, so it's not like they're going to go out of business tomorrow. But they want to make money. Even they're going to look at this and go, okay, at some point we can't just keep losing money on streaming. So they're still in a spot where even they have to fight for lower royalties. They just have no choice. So here's the idea. Go ahead. Well, here's the idea. And this is what I say to everybody. Let's create our own company. Let's us music creators get together and form our own company where we make the rules and we split the profits. It's sort of like the BMI ASCAP kind of thing, right? Where BMI brings in all this money, they pay the bills, and then the rest is split with the music creators. It's sort of that idea. And that way we're in control. No more complaining that the royalties aren't high enough, and we'll use that profit as the streaming royalty. And instead of us arguing about it, we got to get in there and figure out how do we take the profits higher so that we have a bigger pot to split. I think with us all being on the same team, making the rules, making the decisions, I really think that I think Rhythmic Rebellion, for that reason, if nothing else, could be the future of music streaming.
Well, I think one of the biggest problems was that, you know, when we had to transition from tapes and CDs or whatever, and to go digital, the record companies didn't have a plan for the future. They weren't prepared for it. and they didn't have a business model for how to adjust to everything being online. They're still, realistically, they're still in the Stone Age about what comes forward for how they make profits, how the artists work with them and promote their music and do all of these things. They've left this thing up to all of the other companies around them. So like music videos, Vivo's handling music videos. Paying music online, iTunes is handling streaming online. YouTube is handling promotion here. Facebook is doing this thing here. Instagram is doing this thing here. The labels don't have any control over how their artists are presented to the audience, how they make money from the audience. They don't have any control over touring. You know, there's Live Nation's doing touring. And, you know, there's all these other companies that have complete control over the industry that the labels are beholden to, while they're still trying to keep the same situation that they had in 1984 in 2021.
It's a travesty.
It is a ridiculous. You know, we've all gone to record labels and we sat across from them talking to them. And I think it's a mess that there's very few people that had the foresight to see, well, this is the internet going forward. How do we run our business on the internet rather than let's leave it up to the artists to figure it out on their own? And that's why I think that, you know, you guys are basically filling a void for the music industry right now, because there's a large gap for somebody like Katy Perry or, you know, a superstar like Rihanna or whatever. They're covered. They're good. The people underneath them that are only going to sell 50,000 records or 100,000 records, it's the Wild West still, and nobody knows exactly, you know, what to do next or how to even make a business, how to make this as a business. So my question to you is, like, what do you think is success for Rhythmic Rebellion, and what is success for the artists that work with you on the platform? How do you treat that as success for them?
You know, there's two things that are important to artists, especially up-and-coming mm-hmm. artists. Number one is to build a fan base. Yes. And so that's sort of what our first goal was. To give you an example, we created a gift code, and that's very common, of course. But on our platform, these up-and-coming artists can build all these things we talked about a while ago, the fan song mixer, karaoke, and all this stuff, which is a lot of fun for the fans. And being able to go out on social media and say, hey, fans, you know, I've got some really cool stuff, you know, and they tell them all about it. And they say, go to my website and I'm going to give you a gift code to get this mm-hmm. stuff for free. And so the fans love free stuff. We all know that. So that's a great way for artists to get the fans to their website and hopefully entertain them and turn them into super fans. And there's a lot more that we did too. On our platform, the artists create a 10-second audio introduction for their song. And it plays before the song, and the fan hears that. And it allows the fan to hear what the artist sounds like just talking, right?
Yeah.
And when you think about the fact that there's 50,000 songs a day now being uploaded mm-hmm. to Spotify, how do you differentiate? How do you make yourself different? And being able to offer more than just a song, I think is so important. Letting that fan hear your voice, hear you introduce that song and go, wow, what's that accent, or where's he from or she from? And we have commentary too, 4-minute commentary that also will play right before the song. And we've got algorithms that decide when the fans hear this stuff. We've got all kind of cool stuff going. Mm. So all of that really, and there's so much more I could tell you about regarding, how to go about building a fan base on Rhythmic Rebellion. Oh, there is one other thing I want to mention while we're talking about that. Mm-hmm. We pay $2 to the artist every time they sign up a fan on Rhythmic Rebellion. So what happens is, if the fan, let's say my website was gregallen.com, and I go out to my fans and say, hey, fans, go to my website and do this or do that. And the fan goes there, and if they try to follow me, they got to sign up, right? You got to have an account as a fan to do things on Rhythmic Rebellion, like follow people. They try to follow me, they got to sign up. Our software tracks it. We know that they signed up on gregallen.com, and Greg Allen gets $2. If they try to use a gift code, they got to sign up. Fan has to have a place to store all that stuff. And so, we like to say that most of our artists will tell you that they make more money signing up fans on Rhythmic Rebellion than they make streaming on other platforms. And so we're real proud of that. And hey, it works great for us too, because if you've ever done any social media ads before, it'll cost you a lot more than $2 to get a fan to sign up. So paying the artist is a win for them, mm-hmm. and it's a win for us. So we really love that idea. And of course, the other thing is to help them, you know, it's not just the beginning artist, but it's even the mid-level artist. You know, mm-hmm. an artist that used to sell 100,000 albums a year, and you may think, well, that's not a whole lot. But when you could sell albums and get $10 or $15 each, you're making a living.
You were eating
good money.
Yeah. And now the fans, most of the fans are like, hey, why would I do that? I'll just get it on streaming. And they've really lost that incentive to buy that stuff. And so we are hoping that we can bring that back, that with these products that we are building, these digital products that we're building, that that these artists, especially these mid-level artists, will be able to bring something back. And, you know, a lot of artists are still selling merch, but usually it's some outside company doing the merch for you. So when they're selling merch, they use a link to that company and not their website. It's
basically print on demand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other thing that we tell our artists too, and they all agree, everybody's getting frustrated with this. You put a post, we've got a couple of artists that have a million followers on Facebook. You make a post on Facebook and you get like 1,000 likes or 2,000 likes, even though you got a million followers. And what we know is that it's Facebook has their algorithm created so that it's only people that have engaged with you very recently that see that post. And so even though you've got a million followers, they're only showing your post to very few amount of your followers. Mm-hmm. And so what we're saying is, look, yes, keep using social media. It is a good place to generate followers, but don't depend on that. Let's get back to the old days where we built the fan base ourselves. Let's build it on your website. We capture those emails. We ask the fans. There's a question that comes up that says, hey, would you please share your email with this artist? 80% of the time they say yes. We've got our own emailing system too, and the artists can email their fans right on our platform. And we even give the fan the option to allow artists to email them if they follow them. So if I'm following you as an artist, mm-hmm. That you can email me, but I have settings in my fan account where I can say, I can do it on a per artist basis. I can say, I don't want to receive emails from this artist. So they can uncheck that. But it's great because a lot of fans don't want to share their emails with everybody, right? But this allows the fan to say, yeah, I'm going to let that artist contact me, email me by following him, but not share my email with him. So it allows fans to get communications from a lot more artists. And again, that's one more way that I think will help these artists continue to grow that fan base. And when you got music coming out then and you can email everybody, I think it's a whole lot better than just relying on Facebook or Instagram. We're also creating an internal messaging system that doesn't rely on email. One of the frustrations with email is that Google has gotten really good at trying to put everything in a spam folder, right? So we don't even like that. We want to create our own system internally where maybe we can just send the fan a message that says, hey, you've received some messages, or maybe the fan just gets used to logging in and seeing what messages they've gotten from their artist. So we think all of those are ideas that solve a lot of problems that we have going on right now. So to sum up, building that fan base, that's the first thing that all these artists need to do. And number two is a better way to monetize those fans, to entertain those fans, keep those fans coming back, and really turn those fans into super fans.
I think that, it's also like some deep educating too. In the article, it made a very good point, and you just made a very good point. But in the article, it said, back in the day, you hustled up the money to press up 20,000 albums and you made $300,000. That's a great living, right? And these today's artists, it's just all about, I'm going to push it up on these streaming services. I'm going to do some YouTube videos. I may even do a TikTok video, not understanding that as soon as you push it up to these free platforms, it does belong to you, but now that free product that you gave those different companies, that's now the product. So now they're, you know, getting their 45%, like a YouTube video. Spotify is doing whatever they do over there. And, you know, we were talking also about like how people are making money or not making money. You know, you have to be an artist of a specific caliber. Let's not forget, Gary Numan of Cars made, what, $48.43 off of a million streams on Spotify. So, you know, and that's name recognition right there, you know, although it's not a Katy Perry or a Beyonce or, you know, Taylor Swift or something like that. So let me ask you a couple technical questions. So this platform here, would you, is this like, is this an infrastructure as a service, or is it like a platform as a service, or, you know, a software as a service? I mean, how, you know, in terms of the tech and the delivery of it, which category would you put that in, or could it be all three?
It does cover a lot of bases. So just to give you a better idea, and you can say on one hand we're like a Spotify, that in the future we will have this streaming model going on. We're also like a Bandzoogle or a Wix, where we've got this software builder that anybody can use. It's a drag and drop builder. Mm-hmm. And we've done a really good job of putting the artist in control of everything that they do. So the artist creates their content first, creates their songs, they create their videos, we call them assets, they get all that created. They get to decide, okay, do I want to allow this song for on-demand streaming, or do I want to sell this song only? And so the artist gets to choose. They can, if they're putting out an album, they might let one of the songs heard on their website for on demand, and then have the rest of them for sale only. And so, and they get, like I said earlier, they can define dates and everything. And I like to tell everybody too, that to think of us at Rhythmic Rebellion as your software provider. We don't license anything. It's almost like you called me up and said, "Hey, Greg, I've seen some of your websites. You do good work. I want you to build a website for me." If anybody that joins and builds content on Rhythmic Rebellion, it is up to them to get that licensing done and make sure that it's correct. And that's very important to me. I'm a songwriter advocate as much as anything, being a songwriter myself. And so it's really important that the copywriting is all done correctly and that every copyright is protected. I'll tell you one more piece of the puzzle that I haven't yet told you about. So I mentioned earlier that I hope that one day we do flip that switch and become a streaming company. Well, and that we could somehow pay a higher royalty. And I have ideas about how to accomplish that. One of the ideas is that we need to keep all the money on the platform. And so if you think about doing that, if you're like, okay, you're going to pay songwriters directly, how do you do that? Well, you got to have songwriter accounts. So we built that. That's one of the first things that we did. When you join Rhythmic Rebellion as a music creator, if you're a singer songwriter, the first thing you're going to do is create your songwriter account. And inside your songwriter account, you create compositions and you define your co-writers and you define everybody's shares. And you also add your publishers if you have one. And then you would create your artist account and you create your songs then as what we call a song recording title. And you're required to tie that recording or that song recording title back to the songwriter's song composition. And if you got a label, add your label. Now, if somebody earns a streaming dollar in the future on Rhythmic Rebellion, we know who all the copyright owners are. We can split up all the money correctly amongst everybody. This is also a service that's not being provided today, right? And the indie artist, the volume of indie artists selling music these days is growing. And so I think that alone is going to really be a huge service that Rhythmic Rebellion provides for people. As a matter of fact, if you step back to what we were talking about earlier with just selling music, for the artists who want us to do that for them, we'll even be able to take the money they earn from selling digital content, songs and fan song mixers and such. And if they've got multiple songwriters on that song, we'll be able to split that up for them correctly. And so I think that's going to be a great service that we provide going forward. Some of that software is still being developed. Right now, we're just trying to grow that artist base and get the songwriters to sign up. The idea, you know, when you think about it, you're like, okay, what do we need right now? We need every songwriter in the world to sign up and start generating everything they write. And we're also there. We can be a library for these songwriters where they store their songs, right? They store these compositions. And that way you don't ever have to think, oh my gosh, where are the lyrics of that song? Or where's the MP3 I have of that song? It's right there on your Rhythmic Rebellion account. Mm-hmm. And then as artists choose to record your song, they instantly tie back to your composition that you've already created on the platform. And so, our agreements that everybody signs states that. It states that, hey, we want to keep everything on this platform. We're not going to pay out to Sound Exchange, and we're not going to pay out to BMI. You keep using them like you've always used them for everything else. Mm-hmm. But just for what you do on Rhythmic Rebellion, we're going to keep all the money here. And the fact that we're not allowing outside agencies to take a cut should be one of the reasons that we ultimately can pay a higher royalty. The other reason we might be able to pay a higher royalty is that we do have a lot more revenue opportunities. We ask our artists to allow us to retain 15% of their sales. So that helps us, same as Bandcamp, Amazon, and other places. And we've got a lot of other ideas too for revenue generation that should get us to a point where when we get the bills paid, that there will be enough left over that we do end up having a higher royalty. Will it ever be a high enough royalty to replace lost album sales? I'm not promising that. That's right. Tough. But let's come up with other ways, hopefully, to solve that.
So you take you guys take 15% of everything sold off of the website. So that could be merch, that could be anything. Anything that the artist uploads to the website, you guys take 15% of that.
So yes and no. If it's stuff sold on Rhythmic Rebellion, yes. But a lot of artists have on-demand printing going on somewhere, and we allow them to link to that, or even a lot of these companies allow you to merge their pages right into the artist's websites, and so we allow all that. And so it's only the merch that is actually sold on their Rhythmic Rebellion merch store, which I didn't actually go much into detail on that, but yeah, we got our own. Every artist has their own merch store right on the platform, and they can bundle digital and physical if they want to.
Okay. I think that it's interesting that, you know, we've moved back to, like, back in the day, we used to sell t-shirts and posters and all these things.
Out the trunk of the car.
Yeah, out the trunk of the car. Right. Or, you know, and everyone has someone at a table at a concert, and, you know, you when you're leaving a Slayer concert, you bought some t-shirts for Slayer. You know, like, that was the thing. Yeah. And, you know, right now we're at the point where money, music is worthless to the artists. It's just a thing that they do to like another stepping stone to another thing. And it drives me crazy. Yeah. Music is valuable to the artists. And so can you speak to, you know, your philosophy about what do you value from the artists and what you're trying to show? Like, this is good for you guys because you need music's the important factor here too. Not just that I'm selling a t-shirt or I got an affiliate link here. I'm selling Squarespace links or something. Music's the thing that you came here for. So, you know, speak to that about why you think music's valuable to the artists.
And just before you even answer that question, you know, just to add on to what Keo was saying, you know, like today, you know, we're on lockdown, but, you know, artists today, mm-hmm. they made music to go on tour. That's how they made money. They're not making today. Artists are not making money, like Keo said, off of the music. They're making money off of the performances, going on tour, and everything else that they do. So, yeah, go ahead and answer that question, and let's take it from there.
You know, things change every day, and Keo, you were talking about a while ago, you know, that the how the music labels themselves seem to be running behind with it all. But, you know, in a lot of ways, I think of all that as good, right? Because I think it's good that other companies, well, even like us, you know, can come up with ideas that end up being entertaining for fans. And I do think that what we've kind of gotten ourselves into, though, and the streaming industry was the same way, you know, in the beginning, there was no on-demand streaming, right? There was, you could create, I used to use Pandora. Pandora had been around forever. And on Pandora, you didn't have on-demand streaming. You created an internet radio station. Mm-hmm. And Pandora fed you these songs. And as long as that was the case, then you could still sell albums. And it was great. When I think Spotify was the first one to say, you know what, we could get a lot more fans if we started allowing them on-demand to do on-demand streaming. And boy, were they right. And that's why they're the biggest platform on the planet. But what they didn't have was a way to actually do it legally. they just did it. And eventually, of course, the labels went to them and said, hey, well, you don't have a license to do what you're doing. So you're either going to pay us what we say you got to pay us, or we're going to, you know, take legal action against you. And so they eventually worked out an agreement. And I don't think Spotify realized how rough that was going to be on them. they might have rethought the whole on-demand streaming thing to start with. But, you know, I still think the current structure is right. I think licensing mm-hmm. is the right way, because that way music creators can create stuff and then license it to people. And unfortunately, what everybody's doing right now is like TikTok. They start doing something and they decide they're just going to get the license later, right? It's not till everybody starts complaining and saying, hey, TikTok, you don't actually have a license to have all this music on your platform. And so I think we got to solve that. You know, I think companies need to, if they got an idea, well, they need to, there needs to be an easier way, which I have a solution for.
Okay.
You know, so I can't control what major labels and all are doing. But as we said earlier, we've got this huge base of indie artists coming along. So what if for every new platform that comes along, they contact Rhythmic Rebellion and they say, hey, we've got an idea that, and we'd love to have some music, you know, available for fans to use on this platform. And here's what the compensation will be like. Rhythmic Rebellion then goes out to the artist, and we say, hey, artist, we've got this company. Here's what they're offering. And there's a form created where you need to go and sign up to allow this if you want to allow it. So imagine TikTok. They would have been able to just come onto the Rebellion platform, apply for this license. We would evaluate it and we would put it out there then. And, you know, if you don't want to participate, you don't as an artist. If you like, you know what, I'm up and coming. I need followers. Okay, I'm going to allow them. It's not paying a whole lot, but I'm going to allow them to do it. Some of them maybe even say, we're looking for artists that will do this for free for now, because we're an up and, because, you know, back when TikTok was starting up, they might not have had very much money. They may have needed artists that needed to build fans. And so, you know, it would have that kind of option. So I think if we can build our artist base, and that maybe we can come up with solutions for that kind of stuff too. And again, it allows the artist to easily decide who they want a license to or say no.
You know, really quickly, so I noticed that on the website you have a few dozen artists just right on homepage, right? So how are artists finding Rhythmic Rebellion? I mean, are you reaching out, or is this done organically? They're just like, you know, searching the web and finding the website that way. And, you know, what's your marketing plan moving forward? Because, you know, for this to have mass appeal, you know, you're going to need, you know, revenue, you're going to need money to actually produce, you know, this on, or even market it on a mass level. And are you in any sort of like VC rounds where you're, you know, trying to get funded to sort of move this forward?
So as far as marketing goes, you guys may already know this, but man, adoption is tough. Yeah. Yeah. It It is hard. You know, I think everybody's kind of skeptical. I think there's always some company out there saying that they've got the next big thing, you know, and I think, I mean, even I'm sure I'm the same way. I'm probably skeptical with a lot of things I see. And so getting the word out there in a way that makes artists say, okay, I want to give this a try. It's just one of those things that you just have to pound the pavement. We're doing a little bit on social media. We've got some ads running there. You saw my ad on the Digital Music News, got ads there and we have that article there. And so we're also, I've got some great help, from some people who know a lot of the people in the industry. And of course, when you talk about adoption and people being skeptical, one way to improve that problem is to get some artists on the platform who do have a name for themselves, who have had success, who the smaller artists look up to and go, okay, wow, if they're on that platform, then I should be there too. William Michael Morgan, he had a number one country hit. He's on the platform. Earl Bud Lee, who wrote Friends in Low Places, is one of the songwriters that's on the platform. And Karen Waldrop, she's one I mentioned earlier, she's the one, she's got a million followers and she's done a great job on the platform. And she's one of the hardest working artists I know. She really works it. And she's been a great advocate for the software and really helped us improve it. One of the things I always say is, you know, like I said earlier, we're the software builder for all the artists. And so we love it when artists come to us and say, hey, what about, could you do this or could you build that? So all those artists are helping us with that.
Are those artists like brand ambassadors? I mean, do you sort of reach out to them and say, hey, you know what, can you support this? And, you know, they do that, you know, just based off of you, them receiving maybe a free account or even you paying them to be a brand ambassador. How does that work?
A little bit of all of it. You're exactly right. We are doing some sponsorships. And hey, if you're an artist who's got great potential or got a nice following, you know, on social media, you might qualify for a sponsorship. So you should definitely contact us. But I've got some videos out there where I talk about that idea of, you know, hey, artists and songwriters, let's create our own company. Let's create a company where we make the rules and we split the profits. You know, join me, because the only way that this is going to work is if you join me. We're building this thing one artist at the time, one song at the time, one songwriter at the time. Join me and let's make this thing come true. There are a lot of music creators out there that are looking for change. They're just like you guys. They really want something else to come along that's going to be better. And it's amazing how many people will contact me and just thank me for what we're trying to accomplish. And so I'm hoping, if nothing else, that will resonate with people, and that they will spread the word and ask their friends that are music creators to join I really appreciate that the mission that we're on to try to bring value back to music and try to get money back into the artist's pockets so that they can make a living again, you know, in music. That's the goal. We want to undo what on-demand streaming has done to music creator income, all the way from the songwriters and publishers up to the producers and the artist and everybody.
I think that, you know, as we were talking, I was just like, you know, this probably could be an excellent platform for, you know, producers who just produce beat tapes, right? Because right now you see producers, they have beat tapes on Spotify. They're making nothing. Absolutely. I mean, nothing. If anything, they're making, you know, like maybe $2 or $3 after like a few years, really, because people don't really, a specific type of person is looking for a beat album, right? A beat tape. So you have these producers who can put something like that together, put a whole package together, then sell the entire product, you know, because eventually, as I always say, you want to try to make money the first 30 to 60 days you put out a product, because eventually you want that product to go on these streaming services like Spotify, unfortunately, and like, you know, Apple Music and everything else. So, you know, that could be a really cool platform for something like a for producers who are putting out beat tapes.
It's funny, if I could snap my fingers and have it done, we'd already have it.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of companies already doing that. And that's one of the reasons that I hadn't already done it. I do think there's some good companies out there that allow producers to sell beats and stuff. But yeah, it's on my list. I there's so many things we want to do. And of course, it's hard to get it all done. I've got, by the way, I don't know if I said this, but I have a 60 member software development team. But when I say development team, it takes everybody from software developers to testers to project managers. And by the time you add it all up, you end up with 60. So we've got a big team, and we do a lot as far as software development. But yeah, you have to prioritize everything and figure out what you're going to do first. I've had some producers contact me and that really like the Fan Song Mixer, and they're using it sort of for that. They're building, you know, these EDM electronic dance music type songs and putting them out there. And at first we didn't allow downloads of those tracks. And so they were contacting me saying, hey, I actually want to sell this to people who enjoy my music, who want to download the individual tracks so that they can make their own mix. And I said, we got to come and give me, and we finally got that installed. So they've been really enjoying that and the ability to sell that then to those tracks, those 10 stems to their fans. So yeah. And that is huge, man. I mean, the beat industry is just so big right now that I'm excited about us allowing our artists and producers. And so I mentioned to you earlier that we have songwriter accounts, we have artist accounts, we also have music label accounts, we also have music publisher accounts. Producers is the next one we're going to create. I want producers to have their own accounts where they have their own presence and can put themselves out there as a producer. One of the other things we're creating is a way for the networking to happen on the system. We want artists to be able to find producers to work with. We want artists to be able to find songs to record. And so one of the things we've already got, if you are an up and coming songwriter and you're trying to connect with artists, when you create your compositions, there's a box you can check that says, I want artists to be able to find my composition and consider it for recording. And so then we've got this search system, and we ask our songwriters to define a lot of characteristics around their songs. Not, you can do up to three genres. You can say, hey, is this good for a female or a male or a duo or whatever? And you can say, we've got up to over 200 characteristics, like, is it a love song? Is it a tearjerker? Is it a travel song? Is it a party song? Up to 200 of those type characteristics that the songwriter can define. And then the artist can use all those characteristics in our search system to find the perfect song that they're looking for, and then contact the songwriter and say, hey, I'd like to record your song. And what I tell everybody is, hey, it's up to you. If you research the artist and you're like, eh, they just don't have enough going on yet, and you can decline. But if you look at it and you're like, hey, they've got a good social media following, I heard some of their other music, it's good, work out a deal with them and let them record your song. So I think that too is what's one of the things that's missing in the industry. You've got all these great songwriters and all these great songs that don't have publishers, and all these great artists and all these great singers out there that aren't necessarily good songwriters, and there's really been no easy way for them to find each other. So we're going to solve that problem too.
Is there a genre or an age group that's more receptive to your platform? Is there like, you know, country music or like rock or any other types of music that people are more interested, do you think is like lopsided or more on your platform than any other group? Or is it just blanket all the same?
You know, in a lot of ways, it's the same. Because no matter who you are, you can give your fan a different experience using the ability for fans to hear you introduce the song and to have commentary that plays in front of it. And we just got, and being able to, you know, give away stuff to your fans, digital stuff without it costing you anything to your fans. all of that is something that anybody can use. But when you get into things like a fan song mixer, right, and karaoke. Now, like I said, my wife and I love karaoke, and we're older. But I would say that younger fans are probably – you'll probably have a higher sale rate if you're an artist who goes after the younger fans, because they really – the fan song mixer, oh, man, that's going to be a huge seller in the in the teenage fans on up to 30-year-old fans. We've got a lot more artists starting to come on board who do have a younger fan base. So I'm really excited to get them to put the fan song mixer and give the karaoke stuff a better see how they can do selling that kind of stuff. I think it's going to be great.
So really quickly, the other question to ask. So again, are fans finding you guys? Is it done organically, or are you reaching out to fans? And just a secondary question with that is, are you managing any artists from the site?
So regarding building fans, it's all done through artist websites right now. Because we don't have a lot of music yet and we don't have a lot of artists yet, we actually don't advertise Rhythmic Rebellion at all to fans. But what we do is we help the Karen Waldrops of the world promote herself, right? And then as fans come to her website and they sign up, she earns $2 and we get a fan. So right now, that's the right way to do it. So every artist that you see on our platform, they're all getting paid. Everybody gets paid for signing up fans, no matter who you are. You don't have to have a sponsorship for that. And so these artists are building our fan base by driving fans to their website, and we promote that, and we do pay for a lot of Facebook ads. But what we do is we don't promote Rhythmic Rebellion. We promote the individual artist, and so that's another good reason why we're always looking for good artists to promote, because it not only promotes the artist, but it does promote Rhythmic Rebellion, because these fans are signing up on the Rhythmic Rebellion platform to be able to buy stuff or use the gift code for that artist. For the moment, that's it. And it's all about the artist for us, and promoting them and helping them build that fan base and hopefully then monetizing that fan base. The second part of your question. Did I cover both of them?
No, yes, you did. The other one is, do you actually manage artists on the website yourself?
So not really, but in a sense, we give them a lot of help.
Cool.
We help them learn how to use the software. We give them advice on best ways to promote themselves on social media, how to use the gift codes, how to take advantage of this introduction and commentary, and how make sure they understand how all that works. And so there's, our software, it is the most comprehensive music software out there. There's no doubt about it. And because of that, when you've got anything that's that comprehensive, there's a learning curve. And we've got when you sign up as a music creator, we have got tons of videos and help articles to help teach you how to learn the software and take advantage of the software. But we also do a lot of support for our artists, and we jump on Zoom calls with them and show them how to do stuff and how to improve things. And we'll help them build their websites if they're having trouble with stuff. We try to teach them how to do it, but we want them to feel successful, and so we do as much as we can to provide them all the support that we need. We've got a great support team too. Great people.
So earlier you were talking about you want to keep everybody on the platform. Are you working on some kind of app or some kind of program to let everybody do everything on their phone or their tablet or something like that?
Yeah. And so just to clarify, I'm trying to remember what I might have said earlier, but we want, if you're an artist that joins Rhythmic Rebellion, everything you already had going on in the world keeps going on. You don't change any of that, right? Today, what you got to think of us as is we're a better website for you. You definitely, whatever website you got right now, it is not Rhythmic Rebellion. We've got so many features that there's no other place has. So you definitely, you need to move your website to Rhythmic Rebellion no matter what. Now, and so a lot of artists, though, when they use their website on Rhythmic Rebellion, they'll offer on-demand streaming for some of their songs. They'll try to sell some songs. But ultimately, you know, because we are not a streaming platform yet, like Spotify, we don't have every song ever recorded. These fans are going to go somewhere else back to their normal streaming platform, right? So we tell these artists, you know, make sure that somewhere down your page, you finally say, hey, you know, click this link to, well, choose your favorite streaming platform. And then we have a list on there, and then they can click their favorite platform, and it will take them then and open up that platform. And then that fan can add that artist music or follow that artist or whatever to their, to Spotify or Pandora or whatever they use. So, in that regard, don't let me confuse you when I say we want to keep everything in house. I really mean money. When I talk about money, we want to keep all of that on the platform.
Keep the loot in house.
That's right.
You know,
you did mention something interesting though that we hadn't talked about. We do have iOS and Android apps, and here's why you got to have it. Mm-hmm. Because when a fan buys music from these artists, they need to be able to, we want them to be able to play that music without having to download it. If you want to download it, great, you can. But fans have gotten spoiled. Fans are like, eh, why should I download anything? I can just play it right here on my phone. I don't need to download it. So the fans can download the apps, and whatever they buy from an artist, they can play it right there on their phone. You can do everything on a web browser on your phone too. But the problem with using a web browser to play music on is the browser kills it after just a few minutes, right? Because the power saving mode. That's right. Ours works pretty good. You guys will have to try it out. You can use play music from one of our artists on your phone in a web browser, and it works pretty well. But the apps are better.
Is it a web progressive app where you know you can use it kind of like an app, you know, the website?
Is this sort of responsive, you know, mobile, mobile friendly responsive?
Because like, going forward with the internet, they're trying to make apps move over to be web progressive. So you don't have to make an app. You can just go to the website and you can do everything from the website, and the icon will go on your phone or your desktop like an app would. I guess it's kind of confusing, but
and that's a very good point, because if you look at like even with Big Sur and the M1 with Apple, you know, they're saying basically, hey, this app that you used to be able to download on your iOS device or even your iPad device, you can now download this on your desktop using Big Sur. So they're sort of getting rid of the whole, you know, mobile app sort of thing. And I understand that too, because I'm in the process of getting rid of some of our mobile apps because I just feel that I can make the same, I can create the same experience from a website. And now the user doesn't have to download, you know, 30 or 40 or even 200 megabytes to, you know, to use an app. You know, sometimes, you know, those Facebook updates could be like 500 megabytes that you're downloading onto your system, you know. So it's just like, wow, this is like really huge, you know. So something lighter and a bit more secure, you know, using sort of like a browser, like, something like Safari would be kind of cool. What do you think about that?
So there's issues. They don't have that worked out very well yet. And it's like, so we are a mobile first company. Everything that we do, we think about how's it going to work on a phone, right? So you build your website as a desktop, and right there in the software you're building it, we've got this little phone that you click on, and immediately you see what your website's going to look like on a phone. And it reorganizes it. Of course it takes, if you've got, pictures, it reorganizes everything so that it looks good on your phone. Everything's still big. It doesn't just take your website and shrink it down. That's not how it works. But here's the problem. Website, web browsers still just don't work well on a phone. If you're selling something, that's fine. But when you're trying to do video or you're trying to do things that need a lot of resources, like play music,
that's true.
It just doesn't work well in a browser. And so, and like we said too, they've got all these power saving mechanisms there. So if you you know, put your phone in your pocket, you're going to hear one or two songs and it's going to shut it down on, in a browser. Mm-hmm. It just won't play any more than that. So today, from a music standpoint, it's kind of hard to do stuff unless you also have an app to go along with it. But here's one thing that I learned a long time ago. Discovery happens in browsers, right? And so you got to have it in a browser. And when an artist is sharing their website or whatever with on social media, that URL's got to go back to a browser. So you gotta have browsers. And hopefully, though, through signing up fans with that, then the fans will see, well, hey, I can download this app. And it makes my ability to listen to the music, you know, a lot better so they can enjoy everything that they've purchased. So today, I think you still got to have both. Listen, it would sure make my life a lot easier if I could stop building apps and only do browsers. Yeah. But exactly. It's not there yet.
Yeah. Say, Greg, so how do you scale this up? I mean, again, this is probably the platform, the company that artists, you know, really should, you know, start thinking about something like this here. You know, how do you scale this up? How do you get the, you know, how do you do this sort of guerrilla marketing to get the word out there so that, you know, artists know that this exists? And once you do that, how are you going to scale this up to handle, you know, all of this sort of traffic that may come your way once you start doing your guerrilla marketing and putting the word out there and everything else?
Great question. So one piece of scaling, of course, is can your platform handle it, right? And that's what you were just saying. We're built on Amazon. I like to joke that we've got all the power that Amazon has on Black Friday. And, you know, there's always limitations. So we use PayPal for payments to go from fans to artists, you know, so there's a limitation there. Well, PayPal can only process so many credit cards all at one time. There's all kinds of things we have to deal with. And we are testing constantly to see what our thresholds are. And then you come up with creative solutions to make sure that you can, you know, if Taylor Swift joins and she's selling her album and it comes out at midnight and you got a million people hitting the site all at one time, you just have to come up with software flows that will manage that and queue people. And, you know, that way you keep things from crashing. So there's just a lot of processes and
redundancies, everything, you know, so if something goes down, something, you know, pops on, you know, really, you know, once the site gets hit, then, you know, servers can like just spin up like automatically. Yeah. You can create those sort of scripts on the back end.
That's right.
You know, to create those sort of things to.
And Amazon's been great for that. It'll spin up servers and spin up processors, whatever we need based on the current usage. So it does a good job of that. And so as far as, you know, actually getting the people to join, that kind of that's why I'm talking to you guys today, right? And I appreciate you guys offering this because I think I've got to do a lot more of this. I think I've got to get this word out there every way that I can. We've had some meetings with this National Songwriters Association, and we'll be doing more of that. And we want to get the word out to all of them. And you know, it's just a matter of doing normal marketing stuff. We're talking to some bigger artists too that we hope will join us, and we get a lot of great response. But I do think, you know, it's funny, isn't it? So my main focus really is the indie artist, and I really want to help that group. And I've done a good job of building software that works well for them. But it's funny to get them to join. They're as skeptical as anybody, right? So you got to overcome that. And getting these bigger artists to join really helps that. But the bigger artists are also the ones who bring all the fans, right? And so honestly, I would love to be as big as Spotify one day, right? You want a billion fans on your platform one day, right? Mm-hmm. Like Facebook and Instagram. Why do our artists feel like they have to be on those social media platforms? Because there's a billion people there and you need exposure to that. So I do want the bigger artists to join us. I hope the major labels will put every one of their artists on the platform because then we do end up with all the fans. And And that's what the indie artists want too. They want to have that opportunity to get their song in front of a billion people. Mm-hmm. And so I think not only targeting smaller artists right now and trying to make them educated, but also targeting the major labels and their artists. And listen, I joked about Taylor Swift a while ago, but I can really see this being great for her. You know, she's putting out her new album. She's re-recording her old albums and putting them out again. Well,
so she can own the masters. She can own those masters.
That's right. And because she's back in the studio again, she could easily create karaoke, first of all. And she could easily create a fan song mixer. She could get the stems while she's doing her re-recording. Mm-hmm. And instead of just going out and saying, fans, I've re-recorded my album, please enjoy it, she can say, hey, fans, I've re-recorded, and I'm going to give you access to instant karaoke. And her fans love karaoke. And I'm going to give you a fan song mixer for every song. And I'm going to give you access to never-before-seen videos of me at home or in the studio. I think that, and she can sell an album no matter what. But I think that her fans would appreciate that. I think she'd sell a lot more of them if she was using the Rhythmic Rebellion platform to re-release these new albums, these re-releases that she's
doing. You know, at least put a nice package together and sort of, you know, have something for her fan base to, you know, take a look at. I mean, I can just imagine someone like her just having some really cool behind the scene video. You know, just sort of like audio clips of her, you know, just being emotional or something like that, right?
And so let me restate what I just said one more time. I often joke, you know, we look back at the album days and we all bought the albums, right? And then we all bought it in 8-track, and then we all bought it in cassette, and then we all bought it in CD. Mm-hmm. Well, I think Rhythmic Rebellion might be one more way to sell your albums again. You know, now you can redo your album and put it out there with karaoke and a fan song mixer. And it's one more way to make your fans, you know, hey, if the Eagles join Rhythmic Rebellion and they do a fan song mixer, I'm going to be the first one to buy their albums. So I can get the fan song mixer so I can solo Don Henley's voice all by itself and just listen to him sing Desperado without the music.
Exactly.
So how would you sum up like what Rhythmic Rebellion is to people? Like, say there's nobody, they don't understand what the company is, whatever. What would you say the main focus of the company is to new artists or producers or songwriters, whatever? What would you say that you are to them?
Yes, good question.
You know, and everybody's kind of got their own thing about where they are with music, mm-hmm. right? As an artist. And a lot of them, what they need to know is, hey, what could you do for me today? How can you help me right now? I'm struggling. I need some help. And my answer to them is, hey, you need a website. You probably already have a website. Take some time, you know, move everything to Rhythmic Rebellion. You're going to find that you can do a better job building a fan base, and you're going to find that you can do a better job monetizing that fan base. So you definitely need to move over. Then there's that other group who's like, just fed up with, you know, the streaming royalty rates, and they're just mad about the whole thing. To those people, I want to say, hey, far as I know, there's nobody else out there saying, hey, let's create our own company and saying, you know, let's make our own rules and we'll split the profits, and everything's done. We've been working on this software since January of 2017. And so, you know, if I had said that back then, people might say, okay, that's a great idea. But, you know, who's going to build the software? How's all this all going to happen? Done. It's all finished. It's all there. So to them, I'm saying, join me. You know, join the platform. There's power in numbers. This cannot work unless the music creators join. And I also say, hey, the flip side of that is, if every songwriter joined tomorrow and every artist joined the day after that, and then the third day they all go out to their fans and say, fans, come to Rhythmic Rebellion. This is the place I want you to listen to my music on. They are paying me fairly. They are the better platform. We want you to join us here. We'd find instant success. We could have success in just a couple of months if everybody knew about us and joined and brought their fans. And who knows, it could be that in less than a year, we're paying the highest streaming royalty on the planet if all that could happen. So it really, you know, everything's ready for that to happen. It really is just a matter of making people aware and making them aware in a way that they believe it and that they look at it and are not skeptical and that they look at it and think, hey, this is worth a shot. And to the people who are skeptical, what I want to say, you know, is look, all we're asking you to do right now is move your website, and we're going to pay you $2 for every fan you get. You can't lose. You got to have a website somewhere. There's no charge for you to move your website. We don't charge a monthly fee to have your website on Rhythmic Rebellion. We'll get our money later. We only make money when you make money is how I like to say it. So it's practically a no-brainer. If you really want change in the music industry, then move your website to Rhythmic Rebellion, because that's what we need more than anything right now. Because if you do that, you will give us a chance for success.
So is it a question of, I guess, education for artists out there? Because people, their thought process now is, well, I'm a new artist. I want to sell some music. I put it on Spotify and that's it. That's as far as their thought process goes for the industry or what they're trying to do accomplish. So, you know, is it a question of education? Like, do more people need to know there's other avenues that you can make money from, and we are just one platform that's trying to do something for you? Or, you know, what does it take to get people to be interested in, you know, your philosophy about what you're doing for music?
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? I remember being young, and I remember writing, you know, a couple of my first songs, and man, I was so excited. I was like, oh, I have written something big. This is going to be great. Mm-hmm. And that's how a lot of these young artists are. They're like, oh man, I got to get this thing on Spotify tomorrow. You know, mm-hmm. People are going to hear it and love it, and it's going to be great. And what you find is that there's 50,000 other songs a day being uploaded to Spotify. And as great as your song is, it just gets lost. It just gets lost in the mix. And you put it out on social media, you're like, fans, you know, this is great. You're gonna love this. And you know, what we find is you gotta hear a song. My rule is a fan has to hear a song about five times so that they learn the song, so that they can start getting in their head, and then they start wanting to hear it again and again. It is hard to get your music in front of a fan five times. It's tough. And so once as an artist, once you've had that experience one time and then you realize, okay, this isn't as easy as I thought it was going to be. That's when you have to start saying, okay, how do I really do this? And it's everything. You got to have a good website, and you've got to do a great job with content on your website. I'm going to tell you one of the biggest mistakes artists make is they'll have a website that they're working social media pretty well, but they got a website with hardly anything on it. There's no videos. There's no music. There's one or two pictures. Fans are spoiled by Instagram. They can go to Instagram scroll and scroll forever and enjoy entertainment. We tell our artists, you should have a long homepage. You need to put videos of you, music videos of you on your homepage. You need videos of you in the studio on your homepage. You need videos of you at home on the homepage, you know, and images. You need so much content on your homepage that your fan can be there for 10 to 20 minutes watching videos and listening to stuff and really feeling like by the end of that experience that they're like, okay, wow, this artist has got it going on. They got a lot of content. There's a lot of things happening. If that fan lands on your webpage and they are on there for about 30 seconds and they're scrolling and they're done, your history. Yeah. You just lost your opportunity. That is a huge, huge mistake. Artists need to take advantage of their websites. It is the one place that they own it. It is the one place where they are in full control of taking what I call a guest and turning them into a super fan or a fan and then a super fan. And so I think artists, you know, social media is great, but you can't lose sight of what you're building as a brand and where you're going to build that and what really matters when it comes to your fans and what they want and what they think about you. And again, it's content, man. You got to provide them a lot of content. They got to feel like you're serious. You want them to be on your website and so impressed that they share your URL, your domain name, with 10 of their other friends. You want to, you know, you got to impress the heck out of them. And if your website doesn't do that, you need to rethink your website.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, really quickly, so in the web world, there's something, you know, that we say, you know, above the fold, right? So basically, if you're looking at a website, what sort of content are you viewing above the fold? That is before, you know, based on the size of your browser window, be it on a laptop or a desktop, how much information are you seeing before you're going down to the next page above the fold, right? Obviously, you know, on mobile devices, that probably doesn't make any sense because above the fold is extremely small, right? But then you can do things like sticky menus, and then you can have like this, not exactly an infinite scroll, but, you know, lots of content on a homepage. And you're basically keeping that user, you're feeding that user more content so that they continue scrolling, because the thing about Instagram, as you were saying, and as we speak about all the time, Keo and I, is once you're in Instagram, you are in Instagram. It's just like they keep you there, you know, and it's just like you're just, you know, and it's addictive, you know. And someone once said, you know, like you want to make money, build something that's addictive, right? So be it software or something else like that. So do you think that, and I'm just making a point there, you know, that, you know, even though, you know, you can have very long, you know, homepage just scrolling, obviously not infinite scroll, but, you know, you can have a lot of content on your homepage. It probably doesn't matter on a mobile device because again, above the fold is totally different on a laptop and also a desktop than it is on a mobile device. Let me ask you this question. That was just a comment I was making. Let me ask you this question. Are you guys in front of any VCs? I mean, how are you raising money to like sort of put all this together? Or is this just self-funded?
We are about to start that process. So yeah, from my first startup, I've been funding this myself so far, but I am ready to bring in some outside investors. And so we're starting that process now.
That's very good. Keo, you have any other questions?
You mentioned the infinite scrolling. One of the other things we tell all our artists to do, it's really easy to take a button. See if I can see the camera there. Take a button and you put it right at the bottom of the page, right? So when they do finally get to the bottom of the page, there's a little button that they click. Right. Boom, they go to the next page. So even if you do have a second or third or fourth page, we try to make sure that that fan never has to go, oh, I've reached the end. We don't want there to be an end until there's... But, you know, keep them there as long as you can. Again, I think that really is how you build a fan base. They've got to feel entertained.
Back to top button. That's pretty, you know, it's just like you you have a website, they're scrolling. You're just like, hey, that button pops up. And it's just like when you want to get back to the top, just hit that button. It's right there. It's pretty quick and simple. Keo, you have any other questions for Greg Allen?
Yeah. So what's next for you guys? You know, you're looking at venture capitalists right now, but what's next for you, for the artists and for the people who are already on the platform? Where are you trying to take it? Or are you still in the process of figuring that out, what the people need or what you're trying to give them?
So yeah, a little bit of all that, I guess. Like I said, we are enjoying getting feedback from our artists and hearing things that they think would be good. One of the other key things that I believe in is that fans want to engage. They want to participate. We're building a way for the fan using the iOS or the Android app that the artist can place a feature on their website that allows the fan to click a button while inside the app, and they can upload their own video right to the artist's website. Mm-hmm. And so, and the artist will have control over that. They can approve what's going on, or they can say, no, it's fine. Any fan can upload something. But, and you can do it on a schedule or two. You're going to be able to say, and then you can go out on social media and say, hey, fans, you know, I've got some new music out. Go to my website, listen to my song, and then record a video of you, you know, giving me a shout out or saying what you think about the song, and upload it to my website. And then what ends up is, you know, you're talking about building a fan base. When the fan has their video on your artist's website, then they're messaging all their friends and they're saying, hey, go to so-and-so's website. I'm on their website giving them a shout out. And again, it's a way to build a fan base. And so I think those kind of ideas, things that, again, help you build a fan base, help you monetize that fan base, that's sort of our goals. Getting us to the point where we're at some point we're going to switch on, once we get enough fans, enough music, enough artists, we're going to switch on audio ads and display ads and that sort of thing. We'll even allow subscriptions. And then we're going to switch on that streaming royalty at some point. So I'm excited about getting to that point too, where we really do encompass the whole thing. We got a lot of big ideas, and I want to grow the team. That's one of the reasons that having additional investors on the platform will help us to grow our team, and that way we can get things done a lot faster. And so it's really exciting. There's so much to do. You know, we'd love to build our own advertising platform too. We can make a lot more money on the ad side if we've got our own advertising. Mm-hmm. And I've got a lot of other ideas too about how to generate revenue, how to allow companies that want to advertise to the music creators themselves to have a presence on the platform, mm-hmm. where our artists can search for whatever their service is and find it, and it'd all be right there on the platform. That would generate some revenue for us. So just got a lot of good ideas. Like I said, if I could snap my fingers and make it happen, man, we'd be an awesome platform already.
Yeah,
indeed. Well, Greg Allen, let everyone know. Just let everyone know about how they can contact or at least follow the Rhythmic Rebellion. You know, just drop all your social right now.
Absolutely. So if you're a music creator, first of all, go to rhythmicrebellion.com and click the button that helps you sign up as a music creator. Make sure you use our checklist. There's a little thing that pops up that says read this first, and if you use that, it'll walk you through how to get everything set up on our platform. Mm-hmm. And don't forget that we pay that $2 for every fan you sign up, and we are looking for artists to sponsor and to be in our ad. So contact us once you get set up. Contact us, and we'll evaluate you and see if we can include you. We love promoting artists. It's a great thing. And as far as any fans go that are out there, yeah, go to rhythmicrebellion.com. Check out all the artists that are already on the platform. Make sure to click on all the buttons. You know, for every artist you listen to, there's videos attached. A lot of them have karaoke. There's scrolling lyrics for a lot of times for the ones who may not actually have true karaoke. You can comment on songs. There's just a lot of fun things to do. And right there from rhythmicrebellion.com too, you've got the links out to their artist websites. And so if you love discovering new music, you'll have a lot of fun on Rhythmic Rebellion. A lot of fun.
Very good. Well, there you have it, Greg Allen of the Rhythmic Rebellion. This sounds like this product has a lot of potential. It sounds extremely disruptive as well. I like that when it comes to platforms and artists and things of that nature. I think we definitely need to do something to create more awareness as to what a company like Spotify, which is just a music streaming service by itself, is basically doing or not doing for artists. And I think a platform like the Rhythmic Rebellion is, again, lots of potential and could be very disruptive in a very good way. So there you have it, another episode of the Behind the Groove podcast. I am Basil Barrington.
I'm DJ Keo.
Until next time, peace.